Lord, and we thank you that you've opened your heart up to us. You're not holding back. You have your arms of love widely outstretched. You believe that, Father, we'll come because you've opened your heart. You've went to the cross. You paid the price. You made a way, Father, where there was no way. And we're thankful for that, Lord. We ask you, Father, for ears to hear your voice today. Ears to hear, Father, and a sensitive heart to receive your word. And, Father, for that harvest of that seed to come up as we live our lives and go through the chosen path that we have by you. We give you praise for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Our lives are so finely tuned. And if we just give him just a little bit of room, we'll be amazed at the change in our lives. Amen. We're going to talk today about putting on a new man, not an old man. Talk about putting on the new man. And we're going to base it on Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22 and following. But what we're going to do is take each verse and look at it individually. We're not going to be able to cover it today. And there are some things that we need to cover that are kind of deep. So we'll do those next week, and we'll continue with this. I'm not sure how far we'll go, but I've got an idea of what the Lord wants to say today. So, you know, let's just get started today in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Most of us know that, but the basis of our study will be in Ephesians chapter 4, one verse at a time. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. This is the New King James Version. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. What does it mean to be in Christ? In Christ. In Christ. We see that all through the Bible. In Christ means that you know him as your Lord and Savior. You have on purpose invited him into your life. You've made a choice, a quality choice in your life that you want Jesus Christ as your Lord. If you've done that, you have moved from darkness to light. You are in Christ. Do a study sometime in the Bible just on that phrase, in Christ, in whom. It's a fascinating study. There's hundreds of verses in there with those phrases. Paul is making a statement here, if you are in Christ, then you are a new creation. A new creation, and that doesn't mean one that's just renewed. So many of us, we see our lives as just something that's been remodeled or restored in some way. You know, we got born, we lived a mess, and I give Jesus as my Lord, I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and he come in with a construction crew and just remodel some pieces here and there. We had some bad drywall or holes in the wall or something. He fixed those things. He just remodeled us a little bit. And we're going on down the road the same person we were. Well, yes and no. Yes and no. That's one of those things. We are a spirit. That's how we're made in the image of God. We are a spirit. God is a spirit. We're a spirit. When God created us, he created a spirit. We are a spirit. We're an eternal spirit. We'll live forever. From the time of our creation on, we'll exist forever, either in heaven or hell. If we have made Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we'll be with him for eternity. If not, we'll spend an eternity in hell. That's the way it is. There's no other way. That's absolute truth. Jesus Christ died on that cross and was risen from the dead so that there was a way where there was no way. God spent 4,000 years plus getting Jesus in the earth just so we could be born again, just so we would have a way. He became fully man, but fully God. He paid an eternal price, spirit, soul, and body for us. That's the great abundant love that our Father has for you and I. So when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're not just remodeled. When you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, in that very moment, God himself, by the Holy Spirit, came into your life. He joined his spirit with your spirit. You've become one with him. the way Adam was with God, but on a higher and deeper way than Adam was. Adam walked with God in the cool of the evening. They knew one another intimately, the very heart of each other. They knew each other. But then Adam chose to sin. He parted from God. He made a choice that separated him from God. And separation from God is real death. That's what death really is. Because we'll exist forever. It's not the fact that we'll cease to exist. Real death is separation from God. And that's what God told Adam. He said, if you ever eat of that tree, you will surely die. And the reason was they separated from God's life. He separated. Adam was the first one to be born again. But he was born again from life to death. And because of what God did for us through Jesus Christ, we are born again from death to life.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? Now, God didn't have to do that. He could have said, okay, you turned your back on me. It's over with. I'm done. And we'd have never even existed. He just quit or started over again. But no, we're a part of God. When God created Adam, he breathed his own presence into the spirit of Adam. That's how Adam became a spirit, was God put himself in there by his spirit. We're very close to God. We're very important to him. We're the only creation in all of his creation, even in heaven, all of his creation, we're the only ones that have a free will choice. That just blows my mind every time I think about that. There's nothing in creation that has the ability, or let's put it this way, have the right to make a choice. We do. And God protects that right. He will not come against our free will choice. Jesus could have died on that cross all those 4,000 years getting him here. He could have walked his walk, revealing the heart of God in every step and every moment of his life. He could have done that and then paid that eternal price. He would have still done it even if no one ever accepted it. That's the love of our loving Father. He will not and never will make anyone receive him as a Lord and Savior. He will not, even at the high price that he paid. He reveals it to us. He opens the door for us. He will go right to the very gate of hell with us so that we can know. But he will not make us make that choice. That's the awesome love that God has for us. But we have chosen Jesus as our Lord and Savior. I'm pretty sure everyone here is born again. If not, we can take care of that in a moment. If you mean business, you know, we can connect with God. We can be real with him. He can be real with us. Instantly, that his spirit comes in. And with God's spirit comes all the fruit of the spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. They all come with him. And all that God is comes with him. You know, the revealer himself lives in us. We may not know it. We may not realize that all provision, everything God has for man, is living already in us by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Everything that he does through us, he does from the inside of us, communing with our spirit, revealing his heart to us. Are we listening? Have we positioned ourselves as believers to live the life that he paid for? You know how much joy it brings God when people come to him receiving the gifts and receiving the provisions that he made. How much joy it is brings to God when he sees his children walking right with him. Not because they have to. Not because otherwise I go to hell if I don't do this. I'm going to cuss and I'll go to hell. No, you're not going to go to hell because you cuss. You're going to go to hell because you did not receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You rejected him. That's why you go to hell. Everything else is wrapped up into that package. But all life is wrapped up into this package that we've received. Jesus is Lord. I like to say it this way. Jesus is absolute Lord. There's a difference between being a Lord and absolute Lord. Absolute Lord means that it does, even if you don't believe in Him, it doesn't change anything. He's still Lord. He's just not, you may have not made Him your Lord, but He's still His Lord. He's Lord in everything. No matter what it is going to conform to Him. He died once for all. He left nobody out. As a matter of fact, His death included creation itself. He reconciled in His death all of creation back to God. That is so awesome. He wants us to believe. He's revealed His heart to us. He's been doing that since the fall. Since man's fall, He's been busy revealing His heart to His people. This book right here is not a book of commandments, it's a book of love. It's a book of love, it's a book of mercy. From cover to cover, it's full of mercy and grace. That's what this book is. It's a handbook for life. It's a handbook for us to look at and receive from His heart to ours. There's testimonies in there of lives that have lived and believed and went on or with God today or didn't believe and are in hell. It's more than a history book. This is a treasure from God's heart to us. How many Christians ever spend time in it? There's not that many, honestly. They don't have time for it. They put it on the shelf and get it out once a week, maybe, or they may carry it to church. We, in our ministry, we have been in a lot of churches since last August. All kinds of denominations. There are some, you see them bringing their Bible in with them, and they'll open their Bible, and they'll be busy making notes because they don't want to miss what's being said. But there's not that many. Now they rely on this, which is fine. That's great. You can rely on that. But you need it in your heart. You need it in your life. You need to see what's on those pages and look at it for yourself. More than just on Sunday morning. You know, we were talking in our Bible study on Friday night Bible study, and I mentioned that, you know, no matter how good that pastor is, no matter how strong that message is, how deep he gets with what he's trying to present, he only has an opportunity about 52 times in a whole year. And some of those are a half hour, 45 minutes, if that long. We go to some churches at 7 minutes. I'm not down on that. But honestly, that's the whole length of their message. But their whole service is wrapped around the Bible too. But anyways, you know, that's all he has. It's 52 weeks, maybe 52 hours, to impart to his children and to those that attend, if they make every service, how to walk this life, how to live this life, how to be the servant of God that God wants him to be, how to live a victorious life, and how to keep Satan out of their lives, and how to have their prayers answered. That's not very much time. Just 52 hours at the max to minister change in people's lives, to give them something that they can walk out that door with and go home and know who they are in Christ. That's not possible to do that. You have to get it. You have to have a continuous impartation of the Word. You have to be in the Word daily to even scratch the surface. You have to develop a relationship with Him. I'm not part-time married to my wife. It's not a part-time marriage. It's a 100, 365 and a quarter plus relationship. And that's what it's got to be with God. He's much more important to me than she is. And He's much more important to her than I am. We know who we are in Christ, but we're still learning. We're still growing. We still find places of weakness. But if we're not in this Word, we will never know what weaknesses we have. We'll never know how to fine-tune our life as we go through our daily life. We'll never know the hindrances that are there that we just accept. We've been talking in a Bible study at home on Friday nights on hindrances to prayer. Basically the whole book of the Bible and how to apply the Bible, but right now in the last three we've been talking about hindrances to prayer. Not just prayer, but hindrances to life. You know, we can know our weapons of warfare. We can know In the military, you can know your weapon. You can know how to take it apart and put it back together. You can know those things. Be very familiar with it. But then when you get in the reality of what that soldier's going to do, he's got to know the other person's weapon. What can that weapon do to me? How does my weapon stand up against that weapon? You got to know that. And you're not going to know the weapons of the enemy just coming 52 weeks of a year, which come 52 weeks of the year. But you're going to have to get some information on a daily basis. Information where you spend time in the Word, studying who you are in Christ, finding out what are the hindrances. I can find out who I am in Christ. I can know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I can study love. I can study all these things, but not find out what the hindrances to those are and wonder why God's not doing anything. We can study prayer. We can study how to pray. Prayer is so much more than just asking. Prayer, as a matter of fact, asking is down the level, down on the lower level. Actual prayer is communion, it's covenant, it's love, and relationship with God. Priority is love and relationship with God. That's what real prayer is. When you come into the presence of the Father and you're coming in with a relationship with Him, and that's your desire, now you can hear from Him. Now He knows your heart and you know His. And when you ask, you're asking according to His will, which is His Word. How can you know His will if you're never in the Word? That pastor can't give it to you. Not in 52 weeks. How much do we retain in a message when we walk out the door? If we don't make notes or don't get the tape or listen to it again, we're not going to retain very much of that. I pray that we retain the whole thing, but most of the time we don't. We have to, what did the pastor talk about today? I know it was good. You know, we laugh at that a little bit, but I've done that. We all have done that. I can preach it and not remember what I said. You know, so it's just the way we humans are. We have to have a continuous diet of the Word. In order to have our minds renewed, we have to go to what renews our mind. And that's what kind of what we've been talking about. I'm planning on saying all that. But let's look at this scripture here and see what Paul is saying. And then we'll get into Ephesians chapter 4, because in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul is outlining hindrances. He's telling us who we are, but then he's talking about what will hinder who we are. What will hinder the Word from working? What will keep my prayers from working? What will prevent me from coming into the ear of my Father? If I don't know these things, I will get mad at God or blame Him for the circumstances that are apparently not working. And what happens is we abort our own prayer. Or we pray inaccurately. We don't go to the source. And we have to do that. Everything works by law. Everything does. There's a process. Everything has a process. Everything has mechanics that it functions by. You change anything in the design of something that is designed to function in a certain way, you change a part of that and it no longer functions like it did, or it won't function at all, or it'll fall apart because something was changed in the design. Well, God designed this not only just to be picky and say, it's going to work the way I said. He didn't do that. What this wording here not only releases His presence, but it binds Satan. When I put myself in the Word and I take a hold of a scripture and I claim that and I hold on to it, that automatically binds Satan. Because he cannot stop the Word. It's absolutely, totally, 100+% impossible for Satan to stop the Word. The Word's absolute because it's God's Word. God and His Word are one. If God and His Word are one, you can't stop it. So it's not possible for Satan to stop the Word. What Satan has to do, he has to hinder it. And he can't hinder the word, so he has to hinder us. He puts things in our path or keeps us from coming into understanding of things, which hinders his word from working. It keeps us from manifesting the presence of God in other people's lives, in our own. It keeps us from having the answers that we need because we don't use the tool he gave us. We don't anchor our prayer in this word. So there are hindrances. So this week and next week, we're going to look at some of those hindrances. We're doing it in our Bible study too, but those are a separate list. Not that they're not the same, but we're going a little bit deeper there. Anyways, let's read this, or I'll keep on going. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is. Now, is means when. It's right now, isn't it? That is a right now thing. Is now. And it's a definite. He is a new creation. Like I said, he's not remodeled. Old things have passed away. Well, looks like the same things are still here. What's passed away? My old man passed away. My old dead spirit is no longer there. It's no longer me. I've been born again. I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I'm no longer, that old man no longer exists spiritually. But what does exist? This thing between my head, my two ears. I have recording up there. I've spent almost 73 years recording circumstances, situations, thoughts, opinions, all kinds of different things. I've been recording it. My spirit man is alive and brand new, full of God. But this thing is not. It has to be renewed. It actually gets kind of remodeled to a degree. My mind has to be converted or changed or transformed. And that can only be done by the Word of God. There's no other way to renew my mind. And if I get born again, genuinely born again, and I don't do something with this, with the way I'm thinking and the way I behave, if I don't do something with that, I'm going to wind up right back where I was or worse. And again, God will get the blame. And it's not his fault. He gave us the tools to renew our mind. He gave them to us at a high cost. That's why he put them in there, so that we could not have to make ourselves do something, but in order that he can encourage and lift up and strengthen, and that in his love and kindness and mercy, he can empower us to do those things. We do them not because we have to, because we're slaves, but we do them because we love our Father. There's a love relationship here. So I no longer lie, because it's not something that God likes. And there's a reason for that, because God is truth. He don't like lies. So it's very important that we do this thing. So it says, old things have passed away. Well, the old man has passed away, but this mind here has to be renewed. And that's not God's job. It's not God's job to renew my mind. He done his part. Now he gives us the tools. We go to his word. We find the hindrances. We do something with them. We make a quality decision. I'm no longer going to do that. It's displeasing to my Father. Plus, it hinders his ability to work in and through me. So I'm not going to do that anymore. And you find that you go down the road and you're real good at it, but you forgot you said that. Then the opportunity comes to do it again, so you do it again. Oh no, I guess I lost my salvation. You didn't lose your salvation. You just got to repent. You repent, make a quality change, make another decision again, get right back up and continue right on. You ask forgiveness because you have sinned against your own confession. You've sinned against the Word. Confess it as a sin. Receive the forgiveness that he's already gave, 1 John 1:9. He cleanses us from that. He's not against us. He doesn't have a big club and a cat of nine tails that whips us every time we fall. No, God said to me one time, he said, Michael, I'm not looking at how many times you fall. You're going to do that. I'm looking at how many times you get back up. And I'm going to even help you back up if you take a hold of my hand. God's more interested in us getting up, repenting, and going on down the road than he is in our failures. We can't change our old man other than by the word. So if you don't do something with this thing between your eyes, between your ears, you don't do something using the word by the Holy Spirit empowering you, if you don't do that, you're going to ride back where you were. And it might take a year, might take 10 years, somewhere along the line, because you're trying to do it yourself, or you're not doing anything, or very little, you'll drift back. I don't want to go back where I was. I've been there. I didn't like it. I thought I did. But when I got smart enough over 40 years ago to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I am so glad I did. This has been some kind of a walk, but he's been with me every moment. And he'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. I may get in a place where I forget, but it don't take me long to run back because I don't want to go back where I was. And praise God for his mercy. Amen. Glory to God. Verse 18, now all things are of God who has reconciled, there is that past tense again, has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Do you know, no matter what you've done, no matter how bad your sins were, how much, even after being born again, you're still holding on to them. No matter how bad they were, he has reconciled you. Reconciled. Reconciled. What does reconcile mean? It means put back. It means joined again. He did that. I didn't come begging him to do it. He paid the price so that we could be reconciled. No matter how mean you are, no matter how far you went, if you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're reconciled just as if you've never sinned. That's justified. You've also been justified. And the word says you've been made righteous. You don't make yourself righteous. He made us righteous.
What does that mean?
It means right standing. See, I'm in right standing with God. There's nothing separating God and I because he took care of it. Another scripture says he has qualified us. You know, when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords qualify you, it doesn't matter what other people say. It doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter what people think about you. Education means nothing, not where God's concerned. He'll treat you. Those things are not qualifiers. There's one qualification, receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You honored the Father because you honored the Son. When you received the Son, you received everything God has done. You became one. You've received an inheritance. Well, why don't we get that inheritance? Why don't we tap into it? You can't without the Word. You can't ever receive anything from God unless you receive it through his word. He always, everything he does by and through his word. That's why it's so important for us to get familiar with what he has said. Glory be to God. Verse 19, that is that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. See, he didn't just send Jesus. He came into Jesus by the Spirit, so that he could be as close as possible to us. He wanted to be close to us. That's the love of the Father. We try to run away from him, but he ran to us. He wants to be with us. That's what he wants. And Satan is trying to keep us away from him. Why? Because he knows if we come, he's done. He's done. He's helpless if we conform our lives to him. Verse 20. So that he was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. He wants the world reconciled to himself. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Hallelujah. So that we can become right with him. There was no other way to become right with God. No one, nothing could ever pay that price. Only Jesus, the man Jesus, a man had to pay it. Fully man, fully God. So now that we've been right with God, as I mentioned, there are things that we have to do to line up with the Word, to position ourselves so that God can work in and through us, so that he can, in his loving kindness, do everything he wants to in and through us. And we're fools if we don't allow him to do that. The best part of life is allowing him to flow in and through you. That is awesome. And that's what he wants to do. He's not holding back. All he wants is for us to position ourselves. So what we're going to look at as we go through these, one verse at a time, we're going to take it apart a little bit and use other scripture references. And the reason we're doing that is because we want to see what Satan uses to hinder us. How he, even though we're born again, what still keeps God from moving? Because he will move. Our free will choice is involved. So if we choose to do these things, then that hinders God. If we choose to do these things, it hinders our prayer life. It hinders our relationship. It could even hinder our health. There's a lot of problems that take place because we don't do what it says here. So let's start looking at it. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. Now we're using the Amplified for Ephesians. And then the other ones are both Amplified and New King James. So the Amplified in Ephesians 4:22 says, strip yourself of your former nature. Put off and discard your old unrenewed self, which characterized your previous manner of life and becomes corrupt through lust and desires that spring from delusion. What's delusion? Deception. That's the biggest, one of the biggest guns that Satan has. Is deception. Everything he does by deception. He deceives. And if we're not into the Word here, he can deceive us kind of easily. We can be inaccurate. We cannot know anything at all. He can deceive us. And part of that deception is, you don't have time for that. Look what all you got to do. Look at how busy you are. After all, you don't understand it. Well, he teaches you. And if you get in the Word, you can understand it because God will reveal it to you. It's not that hard. It's very simple. God made things simple. But the first two words there I like is strip yourself of your former nature. What's that mean? It means to take it completely off, leave nothing on, get rid of it. Well, I thought God did that. I'm born again. He didn't do that part. That's your job. What he's talking about is you have to work on your mind. This is where the old nature is lodged. It's in our mind. It's in our thought life. That's where it's at. And that has to be renewed or changed. God cannot do that because it's my choice is involved. I have to choose to allow him to do it. So that's why Paul puts it this way so dramatically. Strip yourself. Some say just put off. Put off or discard. What means by, why didn't it say just put it off? I put it off and I throw it away. Discard means I no longer have any connection to it. I got rid of it. Got rid of what? Your old man. Your old former way of behaving. The old things you used to do. The things you know that are not pleasing to God. You choose yourself to get rid of that. Then the Holy Spirit comes along and strengthens that decision. As long as you maintain it based on the Word, as long as you do that, the Holy Spirit will strengthen you. He will keep you and encourage you, bring help to you, He'll bring revelation, knowledge on how to do that, what to do. But it takes you to make the decision and then you to maintain the decision once you've made it. In other words, you're committed. You mean business. God's already means business where you're concerned. So much so, cost him his son. So think about that. He's committed, and he will do whatever you allow him to do. You are the one that hinders. You're the one that keeps him from doing it. Satan deceives you into hindering him. So strip yourself of your former nature. Put off and discard your old, unrenewed self. That's what it's talking about, your old, unrenewed self. It stands to reason that if we have to put something on, we have to put something off. We have to take something off to put something on. Should I, Mama?
No.
No, okay. I got a story that goes along with that, but I better not.
Well, yeah.
Go ahead? Okay. Yeah. Now, this is an actual happening when I was young, in my early teens. There was a man who you'll never know because he's not even close to being here in this area. Won't mention his name. But he was one of several brothers. They had big farms and a lot of money. But this old particular guy, his lifestyle, he lived in an old shack. I mean a shack. A pet black snake, dirt floors. I mean, he really had a shack. But he had money. Yeah, chicken coop, pig pen, it was something like that. It was not a house, it wasn't even a shack, okay? But anyways, that's where he lived. And he lived his life that way. Anyways, he had an old Farmall tractor. Most of us know what an old H Farmall. He drove that tractor all over. He went from this particular town, which is south of St. Louis, all the way to Jackson and Cape Girardeau on that thing. Jackson and Cape, he went everywhere on that tractor. It was his vehicle. But that wasn't the worst part. Now, I'm not knocking the guy. I know he had reasons. He was hurting. Had to be hurting. Well, he never changed his clothes. I'm not lying. He didn't. He put new ones over the top of the old. Now, I'm not fibbing, okay? He really did. He wore bib overhauls all the time, and he actually just put new ones on the old ones. How they found out about that, they had an old country store in our town. There wasn't about 80 people in the town, but they had an old country store up there, and he spent a lot of time there while he's there. I don't know, he had a heart attack or something.
Had
a heart attack while he was there. They rushed him to the hospital, and honestly, according to the stories that came out of that, they had to cut his clothes off because they adhered to his skin.
4 days
Yeah, every day. It's horrible. That's why I wasn't going to say anything. But it's a very graphic example of what we do in our own life, spiritually. We want to put on Christ. We want to put on the new man. We want to put on new behavior without taking anything off. It won't work. It will not work. You cannot change something old just with something new. That's why Paul puts it here in Ephesians, to put off and discard, to strip yourself. You have to do that. You have to clean this mind out. You can't just put a new mind in. The old mind will continue to come back because you're not doing your job. That's not God's fault. So we have to do that. That's what Paul, that's why we're going through these, to see these hindrances, what they are, and then what our part is in them. Okay, so if I gross somebody out, I apologize, but that's an actual fact, and I can't think of a better illustration than that. Okay, put off or discard. So we need to put something off. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5 and A says, to kill. So that sounds like strip, don't it, to a degree. So kill, deaden, deprive of power the evil desires lurking in your members, those animal impulses, and all that is earthly in you that is employed in sin. Now, that's your job. You take those things off. But you can't just take them off and get rid of them. You have to replace them with something. Your mind is special. It has to have something to think on. It has to have something to work with. You can't just take a thought off. You have to take it off and put something in its place. The same way when you diet or something. You can't just quit eating. You replace what you eat with something else. A bad habit's the same way. You can't just quit a bad habit, no matter what it is. You have to put something in its place. So that's what God is saying here. Put off the old man, put on the new. Don't leave your brain without something to meditate on. So if you're dealing with something, trying to get rid of something in your life, put what is right back. Put the word back. Find out what is right and true and real, and use that to deal with those bad things that you need to change or replace in your life. So you got to kill it. If you kill it, you're discarding it. It's not part of you anymore. Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. But now, when's now? Now's now. But now, put away and rid yourself completely of all these things. Now we're going to look at a list. Anger, rage, bad feeling towards others, curses and slanders, foul-mouthed abuse, shameful utterances from your lips. Do not lie to one another, for you have stripped off the old unregenerate self with its evil practices. So those are a quick list of the same things we're going to review here in Ephesians. Those are things that will hinder you. They're part of the old man. They're things that you have to deal with. If you have a lifestyle of anger, if you have a lifestyle of talking abusively, if you have a lifestyle of cursing, whatever that lifestyle may be that's in sin, you are going to have to deal with that. God has already dealt with it. So you're not alone in this. You make the decision, and then you use His word to overcome that. You put His word in place of that. If it's a lie, you put a truth in there. If it's anger, you put joy in there in its place. You put peace in there in its place. You put truth in there in its place. That's your job. You have to work with that. If you don't, the anger will grow. We'll talk about that further on in this. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Let us do that. See, God's not going to lay them aside for you. We have to lay them aside. Lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance, the race that is set before us. And we don't just stop there. Now, when we do that, when we do what it says, to lay those encumbrances aside, what does it say in verse 2? Looking unto Jesus. What I say, we have to replace it with something. We replace the old way of life with the new way of life, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the Father, right hand of the throne of God. The Amplified, that was the New King James Version. The Amplified says, looking away from all that will distract. Not just looking away. Looking away from all that will distract. Distract means you were looking here and some distraction happened. Now you're looking here. Okay? I got to keep my eyes on Jesus. I have to look away from those old ways of life. I look into Jesus. And I refuse to be distracted. I refuse to let anything else turn my eyes away from Him. Turn my eyes away from the Word. Well, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 4 and the second part of this. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. Now that I've taken everything off, I've put it all off, it says to be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. Be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind. So we're talking again about our mind. Okay? So be constantly renewed or on an ongoing basis. How can I do that? By staying in the Word, staying in prayer, staying in communion with God, to govern my life based on the Word of God, filtering things through the love walk, That's how I stay in a renewed spirit of my mind. Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So I need to be transformed. The only way I can be transformed is to be renewed in the spirit of my mind. We renew our mind with the Word of God. Hallelujah. And not to be conformed to the world. Now, you were conformed to the world. You were. Before you got born again, you were part of this nasty now and now. You were a dead spirit. But when you got born again, your spirit got transformed. You're a brand new person. But now that old man is still resident. And if you don't choose to be transformed in your mind, if you don't choose to do what's necessary, you'll go back where you were. Most of the time, worse than what you were. The majority of the time, because you will no longer be happy with what made you happy. The sins that you enjoyed will no longer be there for you. You can try your hardest to do them. And because you're genuinely born again, your spirit will be upset with you. Your real man will be upset. You will not be able to get the joy from that old man you used to. Before, you didn't know any better. Now you've been made alive. So the Holy Spirit's trying to tell you, this is death to you. This is destroying you. Don't do that. And Paul's trying to tell us what not to do before we do it. I love that. 2 Corinthians 4:16, therefore do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet our inward man is being renewed day by day. Yes, this old thing is 73 years old. It's got a few bumps and creaks in it, a few miles of road weary miles, a few things that need to be repaired. Need to slide a new one in here and there, but patch some drywall holes. But that inward man, the real me, is renewed day by day. In other words, it's constantly new. It's constantly changing. His mercy is new every morning. Praise God. How much more will that happen if we stay in the Word? Romans 8:5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Notice he's talking to who? Paul's writing this letter to born-again Christians. So he's not just being born again doesn't mean you're spiritually minded. You can still be carnally minded. You can be carnally minded anytime you want to be. God's not going to keep you from killing people. He's not going to keep you from spitting on the sidewalk. He's not going to do any of that. He's going to let you make that choice. But he's going to keep you informed and try to keep it before you somehow so that you can make right choices. And you cannot be worldly, carnally minded and be spiritually minded at the same time. These things that we're talking about as hindrances are all carnally minded. They're all fleshly minded. They're works of the flesh. They're things that will hinder you and keep you from the good things of God. They will stop your prayer life. If you stop your prayer life, you stop the Word. You stop the Word, you stop your answers. You stop your love walk, you stop everything. And all of these are anti-love walk that we're talking about. You walk the love walk, you don't have to worry about these things. Okay, so 2 Corinthians 10:4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought, into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Most people think those are just like weapons of the Spirit, just weapons of warfare, spiritual warfare towards the devil. No, if you read it and pay close attention to what it says, it's talking about the mind. That's where the real warfare takes place. Right in here, you're going to be continuously doing warfare right here. But the more in your Word, the more in the Word you are, the stronger your love walk is, the more in communion with God you are, the weaker this mind gets concerning the things of the flesh. The stronger you get. If you look at it closely, he's talking about bringing every thought into captivity. The majority of our problems in life happen here. Depression is here. All kinds of evil is here, right here. And if you're not doing anything about this, that has a right to work. And you've been programming it, however old you are, you've been programming it all your life. So you don't even have to try to do those things, they're just there. You respond, because you programmed yourself. Now you have to reprogram that thing. You have to reprogram it. And that's what we do with the word. Okay. And it says the weapons of our warfare are spiritual. That's the Holy Spirit weapons inside of us. Part of those weapons are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Those are fruit of the Spirit. They have to be developed. I developed them. God gave them to me. So in those, that's part of the weapons that we use against these thoughts. The fruit of the Spirit. We call it up. We do what's necessary to make the changes. I'm going to hurriedly do this and we'll be done. We have to start here in the next one, next week. Ephesians 4 and 20. No, wait a minute. I missed one. Ephesians 4, 24. Okay, we'll start the next one next week. And put on the new nature, the regenerate self created in God's image, God-like, in true righteousness and holiness. So I put on the new nature, the new nature, the new nature, the regenerate self. I do that. Colossians 3:10. And have clothed yourself with the new spiritual self. Who clothed me with that? It says, I did. And have clothed yourself with the new spiritual self, which is ever in the process of being renewed and remolded into fuller and more perfect knowledge upon knowledge. Knowledge after the image, the likeness of him who created it. The King James says to put on the new man. This one says to clothe yourself. So we're talking again, but we already have talked about that. But we want to be sure we understand that I have to do this. I have to do this. I have clothed myself with this new spiritual self. So if it's a new spiritual self, then why am I still doing what I did before? Why do I keep going back to those old things? If I've done this, then there should be a change in my life. If those other things are still there, if I'm still functioning in them, then I'm out of order somewhere. It's not God's fault. He done his part. I have to see where I'm falling short. Why am I still there? And ask the Holy Spirit to show you what to do to move away from there. Because he will show you. He'll be real with you. He will tell you right exactly where the water meets, where the rubber meets the road. But you have to listen, for one. You position yourself to hear by being in the Word. You position yourself through your love walk, being sure that you're thinking the best of every person and taking no account of a suffered wrong, that you're doing what the love walk requires. You're doing that, and you'll start hearing. You'll start seeing those little areas. And I always advise people never to look at the whole picture. Look at the whole picture as far as a goal, but not as whether you're being successful or not. You're only living in a now moment. You can't live in your past. You can't live in your future. You're living in your now. And in your now is where you can do all of this. Those things that you have trouble with and are struggling with, they don't come at you all at once. They come at you in a now moment to a certain circumstance. Somebody that you have an issue with, that you're always mad at, you're joyful, you're doing everything with God, everything's right. So what's the enemy do? He's got to stop you. So that person comes along. Now you're mad again. But you got mad in your now moment. The last now moment, you was not mad. See, so that's how Satan does. See, if you don't do battle with that anger in that now moment, it's going to be waiting on you in your next now. But it won't be the same size. Okay? It will be bigger in that now moment. So this is how you walk the love walk. This is how you do what Paul's talking about. You keep your mind and eyes on Jesus. You keep the word fresh in your life. And as you do that, when those problems come up in your now moment, you can deal with them because you're hearing and because you mean business. You mean business with God. So God's strengthening you. He's saying, Michael, don't say that. I'm going to say it anyways. I want to say that. I want to say it because he's done something. So you get mad at him and you stop back off at him. What did you do? The Holy Spirit tried to stop you, but he honored your choice. So now you've got to dig yourself out of that. Oh, Father, I'm so sorry. You told me not to do that. I'm sorry. I knew better. But Father, I ask your forgiveness. He's already forgiven you. So I just receive, Lord. I receive your goodness and mercy in my now moment. And thank you for cleansing me from all sin. And don't doubt that he did it. He said he would. You confessed it. He said he would, so he did. So no matter what Satan says, the next time when you leave there, don't worry about that. You lock into that word for what God said. He said it. So I'm cleansed. So when that doubt that happened, I still feel mad. It doesn't matter what you feel like. You repented. You go right back to that word and reinforce it. Again, Father, I thank you. I thank you. You've forgiven me. For the word says, for it is written. This is how you deal with those things in a now moment. If you try to do the whole thing in your mind, you're going to fail. I can't do that. Yes, you can. But you can only do it one now at a time. Does that make sense? I hope it does. Father, we thank you for this word today. Lord, I'm so thankful that you give us a manual of life so that all we have to do is open it. We just have to ask you and you'll show us. Lord, you love us so much. And I just want to thank you that you're revealing these things to us that we can become who you made us. You're not looking at our status in life. You're not looking at our education or lack of it. You're not looking at how important we are to others in this world. You're not looking at any of that. You're only looking at a pure heart that comes before you. So, Father, we bring our hearts to you the way David said, I bring my life into you. So we bring our lives to you this morning, Lord. And we say, thank you for teaching us. Your word says that you will teach us how to choose. Thank you, Father, for teaching us one now moment at a time. We give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I think Amanda has some things that she wants to give out to the ladies here before you leave. Amen. They're beautiful. And a happy Mother's Day to everybody, even the men.